Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm excited for our young people. I did get to go up one night for camp. Amen. They were challenging them. Amen. To be sensitive to God, to do God's will. God wants to change us to be like Him. Amen. Every one of us could use that. Amen. Look in your Bible with me, if you would. Acts chapter 2 is where I'd like to take you, beginning at verse number 22. And I've got a few other places as well to go to, but let me begin there. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 22, it says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." God ever done something good for you? Yeah. Amen. You ever had God do something really special in your life? Yeah. Amen. There's people right here that knows this verse of Scripture. Let me continue. Verse 23. "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." I'd like to talk on this topic, Pentecostal freedom. Amen. It's something that I need. It's something that you need. It's Pentecostal freedom. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. Lord, we are, Lord, desirous of, Lord, being freed by the presence of God. Lord, by this great gift, Lord, that you yourself have given unto us. I pray right now in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, that you would open our understanding, Lord, even touch our lives and help us, God, I pray, Lord, to do your will, God, to have your favor in the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I've got some more scripture I'd like to read at the opening of my text. I just read Acts. Let me go now to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25 and 26. It says, "In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves." You ever heard of anybody that was their own worst enemy? Sometimes we can be our own worst enemy. "In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil." It's a trick. It's a trap. The devil is out to get you. The world is out to have you. "That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Man, look out. Look out. Satan wants to grab a hold of you. Look out. The flesh wants to keep you. Amen. 2 Chronicles, from an Old Testament portion of Scripture, chapter 32, verses 7 and 8. It says this, "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed, for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there is more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Amen. We got to have a word from the Lord. Amen. And we can rest in that word. And finally, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Praise the Lord. I savor, or I like, I enjoy, amen, the knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ. Amen. It is a high privilege to know who Jesus is. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. From the very first reading of Scripture that I read in Acts chapter 2, Simon Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost when the church was first established, we clearly see, we know that the crucifixion and that the resurrection, that they were in the plan of God. It was God's plan that was fulfilled. It wasn't the king that took him captive and took him prisoner and held him at his will. No, it was Jesus the Christ that allowed himself to be a sacrifice for sin. Amen. It was God's plan that he would be crucified. Amen. But the resurrection is also in his plan. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The crucifixion, the resurrection, it was preordained. It was pre-established. It was made fact before it even happened. It was set in prophetic surety. Amen. Both were inevitable. They were, are a part of our history. Amen. And you see, there is this great hope in the church because of that gift of Jesus Christ, because of what he did at Calvary. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 20 and 23, it says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every man, or but every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What a great gift that Jesus gave unto us. You see, this word first fruits that is referred to in this portion of Scripture, it literally means the beginning of sacrifice. It was the first gathering, the first fruits in the Old Testament. It was referring to the first gathering of grain from a new harvest in the time of harvest. You see, nothing has rejected more hope in our world. Injected. Nothing has given us more hope into our world than the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. It is the greatest event that has ever taken place in all of human history. Amen. It's the greatest thing that has ever happened or ever will happen. Amen. Jesus rose from the dead. Amen. You see, when you first, the onlookers on that day, when they witnessed the crucifixion, when they saw Jesus being crucified, it looked as though it was a defeat. God's ways are so much higher than our ways. Amen. Who would have thought that the Almighty God, that the Creator of the heavens and the earth, that the one who spoke all things into existence, if that great God would robe himself in flesh, that he would make himself to become a human being in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, he spoke on earth as God Almighty. Lazarus, come forth with authority. And the dead came forth. Amen. Cease, be still, speaking to the wind and the waves. And they calmed in a moment. Amen. He is the Almighty God. Amen. Praise the Lord. He rose from the dead. It became the greatest victory that mankind has ever known. Victory over death. Amen. There had ever, never, ever been victory over death. Amen. Until Jesus Christ. Amen. And that victory is extended unto us. Amen. His victory is our victory. Amen. Amen. Because of his death, he was able to die because he was a man. Almighty God robed in flesh that made him capable of dying, and he died. But that grave, just like it said in Scripture, was not able to hold him in that grave. Amen. Because of his deity, because of his great power, he himself rose from the grave under his own power. Not someone else's, not another God, not some great Father God. No, it was he himself that rose from the dead because of his own greatness, his own majesty, his own power. No, that goes beyond carnal thinking. You know, when you think of us dying in the flesh, mankind would think that's the end. It's all over. It's all done now. No, not with God. All things are possible in God. Amen. Even victory over death is possible in God. Amen. It is what Jesus did. He did demonstrate his divine power over death when he himself rose from the grave. He defeated death, hell, and the grave in his victory. And because he came out of the grave, that spirit, his spirit, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost is in us, death cannot hold us. Now, I've got loved ones that have gone to the grave. But when they are in Jesus Christ, death will not hold them there. Amen. Now, I am a man. I am in the flesh. But I'll tell you what, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I've got the presence of God in my life. I know what it's like to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. And death cannot hold this Spirit. Amen. I've got a promise that goes beyond death. I've got a promise that goes beyond this life. Because of him. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19, it says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ. There's a comma right there. Let me pause. If I think that You know, if I can give up the bad habits of this world and I can get the good things that God offers, my life will be better. Well, that is true. Your life will be better when it's in Jesus Christ. But the comma is a pause in that verse of Scripture. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, if I hope only that God will make this life better for me, we are, of all men, most miserable. Now, I have to admit, my life is way better because I serve Jesus Christ. It's better having a blessed life than a cursed life. Amen. That's easy to see. Amen. Compare the child of God with the ungodly, and you'll see that the blessed are better. Amen. But my hope is not on this side of the grave. Amen. My hope goes beyond this life. My hope goes beyond the grave. It goes on into eternity. It is life forever with Him. See, one of the greatest truths of the Bible is the immortality. Someone say immortality.
Immortality.
The immortality of the soul. Amen. My soul, your soul, the souls of men entirely, all people that have ever been born, those souls will live on into eternity. All men. We are not going to live physically on this earth forever. Some people want to, you know, push back aging. I have to agree. We are getting older. In fact, I was just mentioning this week, it's not the same as it was 20 years ago. Amen. This flesh becomes weakened with age. Amen. But my God is the same God He's ever been. Amen. He's not any less. He's not any weaker. He's still the mighty God that He always was and always will be. Amen. We're not going to live forever in this flesh. But God has planned for us to live eternally with Him in the holy city that He Himself has prepared, the new Jerusalem. Amen. Now, the founders of our community were not real original in their naming of the cities. New London. New Britain. But there is a city called New Jerusalem. And its builder and maker is God. Amen. And I want to go there. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 16, verse 25 and 6, it says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Be a real bad trade. Wouldn't be worth it. "Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" There is no price. There is no thing. There is nothing in this world worth losing your soul. Amen. You see, this life, this living, the time that I am alive is not the end. You see, there is no profit in gaining the whole world if we were to lose our own soul. If we were to lose the life that is yet to come in eternity. You see, our hope, your hope, my hope, our hope in Jesus Christ, the hope of the church, is that since He rose from the dead, and He did, that we also are going to be raised from the dead, incorruptible, immortality, that God is going to change us in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, to be like Him. Praise the Lord. This life is not the end. You see, everybody, every person, whether if they think death is the end or not, whether if they believe in eternity or not, all people, all souls will be resurrected. All souls are going to go into eternity somewhere. The wicked as well as the righteous shall be resurrected. That's a scary thought. You know, the wicked just want to think, oh, just live right now. Oh, just do it right today. Just do whatever I want, however I want, wherever I want, whenever I want. You know, it's this selfish, carnal mindset of the flesh. But the righteous have a hope that go beyond this world. The righteous have a hope in Jesus Christ that goes beyond the grave. You see, our bodies, if we do die in the flesh, and I have loved ones that have known the Lord, that have served Him, that have went on to be with the Lord, and they are now in the grave in their flesh. Their flesh is in the ground. But when He calls us, when it's time for that great resurrection, those souls are going to leave the grave and rejoin the spirits. In fact, all people are going to live forever somewhere. It's going to be heaven or hell. People don't even want to talk about it. There's a lot of churches that may not even like to preach about hell. Hell is a terrible place. Hell is a place without God. But heaven is a glorious place. It's a place of God. It's where God dwells. Praise the Lord. If we know that Jesus is alive today because He lives in us. I know. You know what? If you tell me that, oh, religion is just a crutch. Too late. I already know Jesus is alive. I know that Jesus is with me. I know that God helps me. I know that God is real. Woo! Praise the Lord. My God is real. Praise the Lord. I know He's real. I know He's real because He's done so much for me. God has healed my body. I've seen miracles that God did in other people's bodies and healed their bodies with my own eyes. I've seen miracles myself. Amen. I have been healed by a miracle in my own flesh. I repented of my sins when I was 12 years old. Amen. Can you believe it? More than 50 years ago. Oh my goodness. How could that be? But He's the same God right now as He was back then. Amen. When I repented, when I received, when I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins, when I received the gift of the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues. Woo! I know God's real. Amen. Nobody could ever convince me that God isn't real, because I know for firsthand account, my God is real. Praise the Lord. We know that Jesus is real because of His Spirit that dwells in us. Life teaches us that problems and trials and things of this world, they're inescapable. If you just keep living, you will get old. Can anybody raise their hand? I know what you're talking about. Surely I'm not the only one. Okay, I see a few people out there. This flesh may not be as young as it used to be anymore, but my spirit is just as young as it's ever been. Amen. I know how good God is. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Trials, troubles, falling down, getting sick, getting hurt, you name it. Troubles come and troubles go. They're inevitable. It's a part of life. It's just, you can never escape troubles in this life. They still come, whether if you've got the Holy Ghost or not. It's just that I know I have a hope in Jesus Christ, no matter what trouble comes upon me. Amen. If I'm sick in the bed, if I'm laying in the hospital, if the doctors are going over me and I'm hooked up with wires, you know what? I still know my God is good. I still know God is real. Amen. My hope is not in these wires and in these machines. My hope is in Jesus the Christ. I've been there. I know what that's like. And I still trust God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, this life brings its own difficulties. But do not despair. The Bible teaches us that the resurrection is also certain. Amen. It is not possible that he should be holding of it. Death is not the final victory of sin. Amen. You see, the real victory is in Jesus Christ, who has power over death, hell, and the grave. Sin cannot win this fight. Amen. Jesus Christ has already won. Amen. When he was crucified on the cross, when he rose himself from the dead, when he promised us this great gift, we win. Praise the Lord. You can break free from the chains of Satan's bondage. You do not have to live this life in sin. If you want to be set free, you can be. It is impossible for Satan to hold you. It is not possible that Satan can stop the power of God. It is not possible. The victory is just as absolute as the trial itself. Your trial may be because of life. It may not be any fault of your own. But I tell you, the victory is given by Jesus. My hope is in the Christ. Praise the Lord. This message is to show you that through the Pentecostal experience, of repenting, being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues, that through this miracle gift, you can have the ultimate victory and liberty that man has ever known. You can have a spiritual resurrection. Pentecost freedom. Pentecostal freedom is the ultimate victory. A spiritual resurrection. Amen. The day of Pentecost is an Old Testament feast. It's not new to the New Testament. It's from the Old Testament. It's when Moses was up on the Mount Sinai and he was called there by God that God may speak unto him. And God gave him the tablets of stone. You see, the tablets of stone that were written by the very finger of God. Moses was up on that mountain a long time. You see, the people couldn't go up on the mountain. The people couldn't go up. In fact, to them, it looked like it was clouds and a fire. It looked scary. What is going on in the mountain? They couldn't even go close to they couldn't even begin to go up that mountain. It was such a spectacular event that they made the Feast of Pentecost that they would always remember Moses on that mountain. The law that was given. The finger of God that wrote to men. The Feast of Pentecost was a feast designed to complete the Passover. The resurrection is a type of the cross's completion. The death on the cross would not have been complete without the resurrection. Amen. It was Jesus the Christ that had to fulfill the whole plan. He had to do the whole thing. Amen. You see, being baptized, repenting of our sins is a marvelous act and step of faith toward God. It is absolutely critically necessary that people would repent. And I've preached on that recently. Repenting is important. Repenting is needful. But repenting leads to baptism. Because repenting by itself, I've asked God to forgive me. It's incomplete. Don't stop the plan of God in your life. Continue on. Repenting is needful. In fact, I pray that I hope that I would like for all of us, including me, to live a repented life. But there is one gift given unto mankind for all time. Amen. And that is the great gift of the death and burial of Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. It is that great gift. It is that occasion, that great happening that made baptism in the name of Jesus Christ critically important to our own lives. Amen. Oh, well, I received Jesus when I asked Him into my heart. You got Bible for that? I'd like to see it in the Bible. I want to know it in the Word of God. Amen. You see, it tells us in the Bible, we're supposed to repent. We're supposed to be baptized, every one of you. It tells us what to do and how in the name of Jesus Christ. We got it on the sign right in front of you in case you forgot that part. Sorry, I don't want to be sarcastic. I apologize. I want to tell it the truth. I want to say it just as plain, just as in clear English as I am capable of doing. Amen. Repenting is great. It's necessary. But don't stop at asking God to forgive you. Don't stop at asking God to forgive your sin. Don't stop at promising God, I want to live for you. Don't stop there. You got to obey the scriptures. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. It tells us what it does. It applies the payment of Jesus Christ. His death on the cross is applied to our lives when we are baptized in Jesus' name. And that's the reason why when you baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, is not sufficient. Because you have to use the name of Jesus. You have to use the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then the infilling of the Holy Ghost is a promise unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. God's not changing the plan. That is the plan. Now, how do you receive the personal Pentecost, that experience in your own life? How can you have the impact of a spiritual resurrection? You got to admit that you cannot save yourself. Some people think, well, I'm not so bad. I'm okay just the way I am. You are deceived by the devil. That's a lie from hell. We cannot be saved without Jesus Christ. It is the only plan of salvation. You got to start there. I cannot save myself. And you have to repent. Repent of your sins. Turn from that sin to God. And then believe that the Bible is God's Word. And that Jesus Christ can and will save your soul. That plan in the Bible is for me. You got to believe what the Bible says. Now that you've repented, now you're believing in Jesus, this part is even fun. This part is good. Amen. Lift your hands and begin to worship God. Amen. Would you do that with me for just a moment? Would you lift your hands all over this place for just a moment? Would you love the Lord with me? Lord, I love you. I praise you. I thank you. God, you're wonderful and worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Worshiping God brings us closer to Him. God is already here. It's we that need to come close to God. It's we that need to identify with Him. As you are worshiping the Lord, you begin to spontaneously feel the presence of God. When you go close to God, God comes close to you. God inhabits the praises of Israel, and God will inhabit or live in your praises too. As you're worshiping, as you're magnifying Him, when you're in that repentant state, you've already been baptized in Jesus' name. You've obeyed the Scriptures. Scriptures say ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. As you're worshiping, the spontaneous moving of your mouth and to speak in a language that no one ever taught you. It's a heavenly language given by God. It's an inspiration of the Spirit. Speaking in other tongues is not weird. Speaking in other tongues, thank you, Brother Dyke, is normal. That's what they did in the Bible. That's what they did when they were saved back then. That's what they did on the day of Pentecost. That's what they did in the New Testament church. That's what they've done throughout the ages, even till now. It's what I've experienced. It's what many of us have experienced. Speaking in tongues is God's plan. Praise the Lord. I don't know that it's the perfect plan of God. I don't know that there's any other way, any other plan, any other contrived method that mankind could conceive. It wouldn't replace what God has already done. It's the perfect plan. It's the best way to know. It does two things. It lets the believer know that something miraculous, supernatural, has just taken place. Amen. When you are worshiping, God, I love you, I praise you. You begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. It does two things. It both in our own spirit reassures us and shows us and makes us to speak with that other heavenly language to know that God is moving in me. It's something supernatural. And also, here's the preacher praying for him. God, give them your spirit. God, lift them up. God, help. Oh, they're speaking it. God did that. It's an inward and outward experience that nobody can deny. Once you've experienced this infilling of the Holy Ghost, no one is going to ever be able to tell you, oh, that wasn't real. I tell you, it is real. Woo! It is something so sure, it's beyond this life. Amen. It's real. You see, the Bible gives us power to recover ourselves. There are really people that have real problems in this life. They got real troubles in this flesh. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25 and 26. Just need to wet my whistle. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25 and 26. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. I think in the flesh, every one of us has experienced that we can be our own worst enemy. We are the problem when sin has a hold of us. I can't blame other people for my sin. I'm guilty of sin. And so are you. Every man comes short of the glory of God. Everybody, bar none. There are none good enough without God. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance through the acknowledging of the truth, yes, you have to repent, and yes, you have to believe God, you got to acknowledge Him, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. If I could just walk around this place and take every single person by the hand and lead them to Jesus Christ, I would. I wouldn't, but my doing it wouldn't do any good, because the Bible says you got to recover yourself. It's something that you have to do yourself. The pastor can't do it for you. The prayer leader can't do it for you. The ministers in the church cannot do it for you. It's something that every single person has to do themselves. That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So many people in our world are tied up in the lie of Satan, in the lie of the devil. See, people oppose themselves with false concepts and false thinking or carnality and worldly ways. Some people say they can't get the Holy Ghost today. It's not for you. Too late. I know God wants you to have the Holy Ghost. It's in His Word. Amen. Others say that oh, you really don't need to speak in other tongues. It's like having a spare tire. It's okay if you do, but you don't have to. What part of shall? Ye shall receive the gift. This is a promise from God. If you were to read the very next verse, it tells you it's a promise. The truth is that you can have this Pentecostal freedom today. You can have the same saving grace that God gave on the day of Pentecost right now, today. People oppose themselves when they quit fighting Satan's efforts. People oppose themselves when they refuse to receive the truth. We're watching the end time ministries, and now we're on the salvation package. And today at my house at 6 o'clock, we're doing lesson one. I would invite anybody here that wants to know more about this plan of salvation, come to my house at 6 o'clock today. Talk to me after church. I'll give you the address, my phone number, everything. I hope you'll come. God is the God from the Old Testament to the New Testament. His name is Jesus. Amen. Being baptized in the name of Jesus. There is only one God. His name is Jesus. And that is how we're baptized. In the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, every one of you. That means everybody. Everybody needs this experience. Everybody needs this great gift. Everybody needs Jesus. People are held captive simply because they, get this now, want to be. They don't want to change. They're comfortable in their life. They don't want to walk with God. They are willing captives, ensnared by cages that they have built in their own lives. You see, we are empowered. We are given power by God in the Holy Ghost. Amen. To escape that damnation. You see, if we will just hear and obey the instructions in the Word, we can and will experience true liberty, a spiritual resurrection, Pentecostal freedom. Instructions that empower people to recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Number one, you must wake up. Just see the truth for what it is. Jesus is God, and I need Him. Amen. We got to get out of the snare of the enemy by obeying the Word of God. We got to receive instructions and obey the gospel. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? You do or you don't. You obey or you won't. It's your choice. Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall, someone say shall. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Andre, sit down. Everybody seated. Hold on. Do you know that on the day of Pentecost, just like everybody in this church was seated, they were all, the day of Pentecost, the disciples and those that were there, that were gathered with them, about 120, including the mother of Jesus, they were sitting down when they received the Holy Ghost. They were not walking or running or jumping. They were sitting. I think this is a valuable thing to look at. Acts chapter 2, and I'm closing here shortly. This is the end of my message. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. They were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It was the birth of the New Testament church. God is doing a miraculous, fabulous, awesome, miraculous, just wonderful thing in men. Of all the physical postures you could choose from God, nobody stand right now. You know our typical, everybody stand. No, I like standing. I like worshiping while I'm standing. I like praying while I'm standing. But on the day of Pentecost, they were all sitting. I tell you, you could break the mold today. You could get the Holy Ghost sitting right there in the pew. You could get the Holy Ghost at this altar. Amen. You could get the Holy Ghost in whatever manner that you are worshiping Him in. You can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see, this illustration just helps us to understand that the promises of God are not fulfilled because of our own toil. Oh, I have to stand and I have to go to the front and I have to raise my hands for 18 minutes and I got to pray out loud for a half an hour. No, you don't. You can get the Holy Ghost while I'm talking. Amen. You just have to obey the Scriptures. Amen. Now, we are going to stand in just a moment. Musicians, come on. I'm going to wrap this up. I'm just saying, you don't have to do it anybody else's way. You just have to do it God's way. Amen. Myself first. I received the gift of the Holy Ghost when I was 12 years old. It was the last day of camp meeting. Now, my buddy Roy Grant was right next to me. We were on the end of the altar, way at the side of the church building, and we were at the altar area, and we'd both been at camp and moved by God. And my buddy, my best friend at that time, he is now the senior pastor in Madison, Wisconsin. He received the Holy Ghost 51 years ago, the same night I did. And I wanted the Holy Ghost too. Nobody was around me. Everybody was praying with him. And I'm there all by myself. And I just lifted up my hands all by myself. I said, God, I want the Holy Ghost too. My grandkids got this little thing they play with me in recent times. I love you. As soon as they come around the corner, you may see them. I love you, Grandpa. And if they say it first, well, then my reply is, I love you too. Sometimes I see them coming, I love you. Then they're supposed to say, I love you too. I love Jesus. Anybody here love Jesus? I love Jesus with all of my heart, with all of my hope, all of my dreams, everything that was with God is everything that is important to me in my life is because of Jesus. I want Jesus in my life above all other things.
That's right.
Amen.
Nothing else matters. That's right.
And nothing else matters.
That's right. I tell you, right there, sitting in your pew, when we begin to sing, you could receive the gift of the Holy Ghost just by lifting your hands and magnifying Him, and God could... There was nobody praying with me when I received the Holy Ghost. My wife, we were in a prayer meeting, a youth prayer meeting on a Friday night at Bible World Church in Chesapeake, Virginia. And there may have been 8 or 10 of us there in that prayer meeting. And she was in the pew all by herself. And she received the Holy Ghost in a prayer meeting all by herself. Spoke in other tongues. My youth leader, youth pastor, came to her and said, "You received the Holy Ghost, didn't you?" She said, "Yep. I spoke. Did you speak in other tongues?" "Yes, I did." She was all by herself. Now, I like praying for people, and I like people getting prayed for. But you don't have to do it like I like. You can do it any way that God moves on you. You may want someone to help you pray. You may want to feel the encouragement of the saints around you. And that's wonderful. That's good. We're going to give you that opportunity. But you can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost all by yourself. Anywhere. But you need the gift of the Holy Ghost. Stand with me. I'm closing with two portions of Scripture. We've got to rest on the Word of God. The Bible says, John chapter 8, verse 36, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." I tell you, there's people here. There's people in our world. There's people right now that need Jesus that they can be set free from something in their life. You can have it right now. And we got to rest on the Word of God, which causes us to triumph. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph" Amen. "in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place." Oh, knowing Jesus is the best thing that I have ever known. Amen. He is above all other things in my life. He is the great God. Amen. His name is Jesus. Amen. I'm inviting you. Would you worship with us? This altar is now open. I'm asking you to come. Come and join us. Worship the Lord with us. Magnify God. Lift your hands and lift your voice and magnify God and worship Him. Come on. You can do it in your pew or you can do it up here. But wherever you are, would you join us? Would you magnify God with us? Would you love the Lord with us right now? All over this place. Let's do it up front. Let's do it in the pew. Let's do it every place. Would you love Him with me? Lord, I love You. I